Well, I haven't gotten my W-2s yet, but I know they're going to come within the next 2 weeks. I think they have to come by the end of January, if I'm not mistaken. And so my wife and I have already started thinking about our taxes. Maybe you have, too. And if you've got some questions about tax preparation, I hope you will stay listening and join in with your questions, especially as it relates to Wisconsin income tax preparation, because we've got a couple experts for you today. Roger Irwin is the Wisconsin Secretary of Revenue, and he's responsible for the administration of the state tax law and policies. Carol Scott, I'm with us as well. She's in the trenches there as a tax preparation specialist in the Wisconsin Department of Revenue. And of course, they both know a whole lot about tax preparation when it comes to Wisconsin income taxes. So I hope you'll join us. The number to call is 1-800-642-1234. Or you can email us at talk@wpr.org, and we'd love to have you on the show. And Carol Scott, welcome. Thank you for taking time to be with us today.
Thanks for having us here.
Appreciate it very much. Roger Irwin, thank you so much for coming as well.
Thank you, Larry.
Lots of new things in the coming up online in the Wisconsin tax codes here in tax preparation.
Absolutely. I would have to say that probably the Department of Revenue employees and the accountants are the only people that are excited to see January 1st roll around every year. But we try to make the best of it. We try to make it as easy as possible on people so that they can file and meet their obligations under the law and do it in a way in which they can expedite getting any kind of refund that they have coming. Yeah. Now, what we have new for 2008 tax year, which is 2009 calendar year, is a brand new suite of electronic filing options for our citizens. And this is particularly timely because the IRS now has a new suite of options on their website as well. And while we had 70% of our citizens e-file last year, we were really hoping to get up to 80% within the next year or two. So we want to make sure that everyone understands what we have available. We have a new Adobe product that's a fill-in form, and that's available for our easy form, which is called the Wisconsin Wiz, the Form 1 and the Form 1A, and that's about 90% of the people use those forms.
Okay.
And they are – you only have to have the Adobe Reader to use it, and you can fill it. It'll replicate a paper form, and you can fill that out. The form will check the math for you. You can e-file it, email it to us, and it will give you a response to let you know that we did receive it. And it will. You can save the document on your hard drive for the following year.
Oh, and that's great. And then if you have a refund coming.
3 to 5 days.
Yeah, that's amazing.
It's great. We had last year, we had very few people who e-filed who had a wait longer than 3 to 5 days. Most people had even quicker. And we expect that as time goes on, it'll be almost a rapid response in terms of collecting your refunds. I think the average refund was about $725 last year, and it's if you use direct deposit instead of asking for a check, that's what really is the
yeah,
process.
That's what we've done in the past, and I mean it's just lickety split, and it's there. Well, Carol, what happens if I owe money and I want to file electronically, but I owe money, then how do I handle that?
Well, you'll get a voucher that you can print out to send the money, and you can still file right away.
Okay.
You don't have to wait till April 15th, but you don't have to send the money in until April 15th, and you can even have a electronic funds transfer if you want to.
You can do that. Oh, okay. So you don't have to even mail it in if you... You don't want to.
Yep. Right.
And you could hold off until April 15th to do that electronic funds transfer, too?
We suggest a little bit earlier.
A little ahead of that.
Sure everything happens, but...
I understand that. So, a lot different from 20 years ago, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, tax is now becoming a technology environment, a technology infrastructure that is going to be very interactive, very responsive to the needs of the customers, and it's continued to grow. For corporate filings, we now have something called My Tax Account, and that is a full-fledged account for businesses to file and manage their income tax, their sales tax, and any other audit issues that they have in terms of, you know, getting your history and seeing what kind of correspondence has been delivered back and forth between the department and the business. And that is available starting in February. In 2011, it will be available for individuals. Okay. So, and the great part about this, Larry, about going to a more technological environment is that you don't always have to have a computer to be able to electronically file. We now have volunteer income tax assistance centers across the state and also tax counseling for the elderly in every community across the state. Those are walk-in centers that and Revenue has walk-in centers as well that are available in every community in which you can walk in, get very expert assistance, and file your taxes electronically. In some cases, as little as 15 minutes.
So how do we know where to go in a particular community?
For Madison, there's a 2300 South Park Street. Mm-hmm. We have a VITA site at the at MATC, mm-hmm. and there's one in Stoughton.
How about Milwaukee or the other places?
In Milwaukee, well, there are a couple ways in which you can find that information out. One is to go on our website at www.revenue.wi.gov.
Okay.
It's a little bit of a long address.
Revenue.wi.gov. Okay.
Yes. And you can get almost self-help your own tax situation on that website. But if you want to find a VITA site and you don't have a computer, you can call our tax assistance number at 608-266-2772 for individuals, and for businesses, 608-266-2776.
Wonderful. And, you know, guess what? Every one of our lines is filled here. So
oh, boy.
Been filled for a while. So we're going right to Barbara in Tomahawk with the let's see. Take that back. We're going to go to Patricia in Madison first. Patricia, hi. Thank you for calling.
Good morning. I was wondering if there's any consideration of increasing the amount of deduction allowed from capital losses from the present $500. Because in these times of economic downturn, many of us have large capital losses such that we may never outlive or live long enough to offset our capital gains.
Well, I think Wisconsin actually has one of the more progressive capital gains structure at this point. And I think that you have a 60% exclusion on tax on your capital gains. And then I think that it may be a $3,000 loss provision.
The $3,000 is a federal.
Is a federal, okay.
We only have $500 for the state.
Oh, we have a 60% exclusion, $500,
right.
Yes.
Okay.
There's talk about restructuring the capital gains tax loss and taxable income. And I'm not really sure where that stands today, but we understand that in this environment there are significant losses, and we hope that in some way that there'll be a provision for that. So
at some point, but
at some point,
unfortunately, or maybe fortunately for you, you're not the ones that make that decision. That has to be made
the legislature
and in the political arena. So that has to be done there. Patricia, thank you for calling. Joanne, in Princeton, Wisconsin. We'll go to you. Hi, Joanne. Thanks for calling.
Hi. Well, thank you for taking my call. I had a fire, my house fire, on December 18th, lost everything except the clarinet and a few photos in the house. I have replacement value insurance, so I have been getting a few checks from them for replacing things. And I want to know how this affects my taxes.
Okay, would this have some impact on you? Mean the money that you're receiving for the loss?
Well, yeah,
I don't know if
I need to claim the loss and for last year, and then all the money I'm getting this year. I have no clue what's happening there.
Yeah, Carol, what do you think?
Well, the payments that you're receiving and using for the losses are not going to affect your income taxes.
Okay.
But if you're getting over and above extra things, then extra money, then you may have amounts that you have to report.
Probably not that, likely.
Right.
Not likely. Not likely.
Most often that doesn't happen.
I had a huge 11-room, 110-year-old, huge 2.5-story farmhouse, and of course you're not going to pay me that much to build that thing again. So anyway.
Okay. So
but basically it's all neutral. I mean, the loss is neutral, and the money I'm getting from the insurance is all neutral then.
You may have an additional loss if you do, which is an itemized deduction on your federal return.
Oh, for this year then?
Well, if you really can't determine the loss, I mean, you have a loss, but you're expecting it to be covered. And when it's determined how much of a loss you have, so it probably wouldn't be till next year's tax return.
I see. So if we can prove that what I was received from the insurance company was not equal to what the
value
was really
worth.
Sure,
value.
Sure.
Right.
Then I could get an itemized deduction on that.
For 2009.
For 2009.
Mm-hmm. In the year that it's determined, we would assume it would be 2009, but could be later.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Carol, can you include the deductible in that?
Can you include? Well, you would look at what the total loss would be. So if you had to pay a deductible out of pocket, that would be part of your loss.
That would be part of the loss. So that's something to remember, Joanne. So keep that in the back of your noggin until it's all said and done. Barbara in Tomahawk, we go to you now. Hi, Barbara. Thank you for calling.
Good morning. And I'm sorry I wasn't able to hear the last caller, but I had a fire in summer of last year and lost an out structure, a machine shed. And I was wondering if the insurance settlement, how that is handled with my taxes. Do I have to pay taxes on the insurance settlement?
Oh, yeah. Well, that's pretty much the same thing that we just had here, Carol, but go ahead and quickly explain that.
Well, it's not actually income as long as it's used to offset any loss of the building. But if you have additional money that you receive for any other reason, that may be income. It depends what it is, so I can't really say for sure. And if you have additional losses, that might be an itemized deduction on your federal Schedule I.
So in other words, if you had, let's say you received, let's say $50,000, but the value was $60,000, you might show a $10,000 loss, which you could then take as a deduction.
Well, you would have to fill out a form to find out how much you get to claim, but yes.
That would kind of be the way to do it. All right. Well, good luck to you, Barbara. Thank you, and I'm sorry for your loss. Sherry in La Crosse, it's your turn. Hi, Sherry.
Hi. Well, thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
I have a family member who has recently become unemployed, and she's thinking of cashing out her 401k in a lump sum distribution. Her advisor told her, the plan advisor told her, that if she takes that money out, that she won't have to pay any state tax for maybe till 2010. And either that or she could divide up the tax for a couple years. And so I was just wondering what the implications are if she takes that money out, what the tax implications would be.
I see some frowns on Roger's face and Carol's face. Carol, what do you think here?
Well, there are some exclusions from having to pay the penalty if you're under 59 and a half. But when you take money out of a 401k, it is subject to to income tax the year that you take that out. For federal and the state. There are hardship exemptions, so you don't have to pay the penalty, but you have to include the income.
Yeah, that's correct. Now, there maybe the person who advised her is getting mixed up between what is current law and what is possible in the economic stimulus package that the President-elect Obama is talking about, because there is a potential to have more money excluded for people under 59 and a half. But we haven't seen what that is exactly yet.
And so – and that's not likely to affect 2008, or would it affect – probably not likely to affect 2008.
Yeah, they usually don't handle anything retroactively.
Yeah, so it's we're looking at 2009 here. So, yeah. Sherry, you got some information there, probably not correct information, and now you have the correct information. So,
well, is there what would be the exclusion for the penalties?
Well, there are hardship penalties and to help pay medical care insurance and different things like that. There's about 10 different exclusions.
And then you wouldn't pay the penalty.
You wouldn't pay the penalty, but where would you go to find those exclusions?
You can find those on our website and also the IRS website because we follow the IRS laws.
Oh. IRS.gov.
Okay. Good luck, Sherry. Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. And you can join in, too, with your question at 1-800-642-1234 or email us at talk@wpr.org. Zeroing in today on our Wisconsin income tax preparation with Roger Irvin. Roger Irvin is the Wisconsin Secretary of Revenue, and with Carol Scott, tax preparation specialist in the Wisconsin Department of Revenue. I'm Larry Mueller, Jim Packard, our producer, and you are listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Talking Wisconsin income tax preparation with Roger Irvin, who is Secretary of our Wisconsin Department of Revenue, and Carol Scott, tax preparation specialist with the Wisconsin Department of Revenue. And lots of callers online. Let's go to Bobby in Wauwatosa next. Bobby, hi to you. Thanks for calling.
You bet. Thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
Just had a question regarding electronic filing. If I was to prepare my tax return on TurboTax, could I then take the return and go to the state website and file it electronically?
No, you can't. You'd have to retype it in. There are a couple of things that I should mention that I didn't get a chance to mention earlier. One is that TurboTax and many of the other retail software products are now available for free if you make under $56,000 a year in income. So you can use a TurboTax product for that. Most of these products outside of our product are great if you've got complicated returns. Mm-hmm. And we would highly recommend that you consider all the products on the market. Our product is really meant for folks who have fairly straightforward, easy returns, or for people who understand how to use a paper form and essentially have a fairly good idea of what the tax law is. So the way things have evolved is that for every market segment in the population, there is a product available.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, I know TurboTax charges a fee to file electronically. It could be $40-$50.
Yeah.
So if you have, let's say, a fairly complicated return, then you might have difficulty entering it on your website then?
No. I think you can it's kind of a difficult area for a government employee to talk about. But you could design your calculations in another program and then have them and retype those in our form and email it in.
Okay.
You know, you should check TurboTax's website because I think that they may have a different price structure now for electronically filing. I received an email from them a couple of days ago in which it mentioned something about for certain types of forms, it's now free to electronically file.
Well, I know their initial fee for the package this year went up, in my case, say $20 or something.
Yeah.
So maybe that's a hidden fee there.
Well, I think there was a lot of pressure in the industry to have one price on the box and not have to have a secondary price, you know, in order to execute an electronic file. So I think that that's probably what it is.
Now, okay. Well, thank you. You've been very helpful. Appreciate it.
All right.
You're welcome.
Thanks very much for calling. And Carol emailed us from Wisconsin Rapids, and her tax preparer is in Kansas. Would it be a simple matter for her to file, the Kansas person to file the Wisconsin Form 1 via e-filing from there as she does our federal return? How should she go about doing it? Thanks so much for this program.
Sure. She'll have access to our website from anywhere So no. She can go right to our website and e-file it there from Kansas.
No problem at all. Okay. Scott in Green Bay, it is your turn. Hi, Scott.
Yeah, good morning. Good to talk to you folks. It's fine, cool day.
Yeah.
My question is regarding the stimulus check we received last year and how that affects our income tax. And if also you could, if you have a background or an understanding of how it affects the Fed as well.
Well, when the checks came out, we made a lot of announcements about this, that would not affect your income at all. That was a tax-free donation from the government. You don't really have to worry about that on this year's taxes.
No problem. All right. Kevin in Oostburg, your turn now. Hi, Kevin.
Hi there. Thanks so much for taking the call.
Sure.
Hey, my wife and I are relative newbies to buying and selling homes. And as a result, I'm hoping and praying we weren't too naive. But what we did is we sold our house in 2008, and we did make a little bit of money, and we bought a new home and pretty much spent every penny on the new home, yeah, making improvements. But my question is, with regard to capital gains and what the implications are and what we should expect on our tax return, or doing our taxes.
Yeah, go ahead, Carol.
Okay. Did you own the home for more than 2 years?
Yes, we did for 6 years.
There's a $250,000 exclusion on gain of your home, and you don't pay any tax on that.
So if you made
not income tax or anything?
Right.
Right. So if you made $250,000 on the sale of your home, profit, then you would, or above that, then you would have to pay some taxes.
Right.
I surely wish I could say we made $250,000, but we did not.
Wouldn't it be great to pay taxes? Oh, yeah. I know exactly what you mean.
I think the people who bought your new house will have to pay higher property taxes. But
right, exactly. Okay, well, that answers everything. Thank you so much for the help.
Yeah, thanks for calling, Kevin. Steve in Wausau, your turn now. Hi, Steve.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Trying to do a little tax planning for this year or next year. With the economy down and all that, over the years, I've purchased mutual fund shares, you know, like dollar cost averaged into them. And they're not a Roth, they're not an IRA, they're just straight mutual funds. And, you know, some of the shares I might have paid, for example, $10 for, and some of them I might have paid $2 for. So if I sell, say, part of them this year, who gets to say what I paid for those? And can I say, well, I paid $10 for those shares, and I sold them for $6. You know, that's what they're worth now. Do I have a $4 loss there? Or who gets to tell which ones I'm selling against which ones I bought?
Well, when you buy things over time, do you have a somebody that's helping you buying and selling?
No, or? I just send a certain amount to, you know, out of my checking account every month to the mutual fund. It just comes out automatic, and it's just monthly withdrawal basically.
Right, and the mutual fund actually should be keeping track of that for you, and they will give you a 1099-B at the end of the year. And then that will give you an amount that tells you what your gain or loss is.
Okay, so if I sell some but what about the taxes I've paid every year when they send you that 1099, say you had these capital gains and you have to file that? Can you use that you've paid taxes on some of those already?
Those capital gains that they report at that time is from them selling and rebuying different things.
Yeah.
And so you actually had the gain that year that they reported that. That's completely separate.
Okay.
Unless you had any loss carry forwards.
All right. So anything I would sell, just say I want to take a trip somewhere and I sell this year, and I could say, could I say that I've some of these shares I bought at $10, but I sold them at $6. Can I show that as a $4 loss next year?
The mutual fund forms that they send you will tell you what you can claim.
Yeah, you should be able to figure that right out from the forms. And thanks very much, Steve, for calling. Appreciate your call. Victoria in Sussex, we go to you now. Hi, Victoria. Thank you for calling.
Hi, thanks. Yeah. Thanks for having this show.
Sure.
I am wondering about some guidance for a situation. We have a home in Iowa that we own, rent a place in Wisconsin. All my husband's income is in Iowa. My income was 3 months in Iowa, 9 months in Wisconsin, and that includes some private of some home business income as well as you know, W-2 type.
Okay.
So I'm just wondering what.
So you're going to have to file taxes in two. Yeah, you're going to have to file taxes in two states. If I'm not, Roger, is that correct?
That's correct. That's correct.
Right. That's what I figured.
And for Wisconsin, you'll have to fill out a 1NPR form.
NPR. Okay. Right.
It's a non-resident form, and that will break down your income between Wisconsin and federal, Wisconsin and your total income. So you know what portion you need to report to Wisconsin and give you the portion of the credits that you should receive.
Okay.
All right.
And would there be any online or filing programs that might...
Our website, of course, will help you a lot with the questions that you have, where to put things. You can call our numbers... And we can give you information.
What is that website?
It's www.revenue.wi.gov.
Revenue.wi.gov.
Right.
Okay. Let me just say that I think that because you have a complicated form, and if you're going to handle your taxes yourself, you're probably go to the website, but I think you're probably going to have to wind up filing some of that in paper. Because this is the one form that has not been converted all the way to electronic files, just because there's so many different schedules with that.
Yeah.
Next year, it'll be a different story, or a tax preparer. Now, the tax preparer have their own proprietary license to use something that probably would allow them to file electronically.
So somebody like even an online like TurboTax or whatever might be able to handle.
I think some of those probably. It'll say it on the box. If you go to any of the retailers, you can find one that probably has it.
All right. Well, good luck, Victoria. I appreciate your call. Jim and Delavan, we're on to you now. Hi, Jim.
Good morning. Thank you for the opportunity.
Sure.
I have a question and one quick comment. But the question is, the rumor is going around that Social Security income is no longer going to be taxed. I doubt if that is actual or not, because I doubt that it is actual because I've not heard anything other than a little bit of rumor or rumbling.
It
is actual. Under consideration.
It is actual. It actually is effect for 2008. Your Social Security is not taxable this year.
Aha! Then the rumor was right.
Yes.
The other comment that I wanted to make is I'm quite, well, not quite, but somewhat computer literate. Use the computer a lot. I have apprehensions, still have apprehensions about filing, e-filing, for the simple reason that the federal government nor the state has assured me that it is completely hack-proof and 100% secure. And I'd like to hear your comment on that, and I'll listen to it offline.
Thank you. All right.
It is by far more secure than mailing a return. We have the files encrypted. They come directly to us. You receive an emailed certification that we received your form. The same thing with the Internal Revenue Service. And, in fact, you can attach any type of PDF, you know, a schedule or W-2 or any of those kind of forms on the document. And as we said earlier, it can be you'll receive your any refund in the first week of having filed. If you file by paper, it will not be less than 8 to 12 weeks before you receive your refund. It is just a matter of the labor cost and the mailing time in order for us to process that. And by using both electronic filing and direct deposit, you can be assured that all of those are very well encrypted. The state spends a great deal of money every day ensuring that all of our files are electronically secured. So I really don't think that there's any worry about that.
thanks very much for your call. Somebody was wondering, the Social Security benefits aren't being taxed. Somebody was wondering about the federal retirement, whether or not that will be taxed or not.
We do have an exemption for some federal retirements. It depends on exactly which one it was, so I can't give you
can't
a blanket statement. But there is no change this year.
Okay.
It's going to be the federal retirement that was exempt before is still exempt,
okay,
and no new ones.
No, nothing new. Okay.
Right.
Let's go to Jerry and Viola now. Jerry, hello to you.
Hi. Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I was wondering about the current and likely future rate of Wisconsin state income tax on retirement income. I would like, I have a home and I have property in Wisconsin. I would like very much to become a Wisconsin resident for various reasons. I'm currently an Illinois resident, but my wife feels it's to our economic advantage to remain Illinois residents. Can you comment on that?
Well, I can't really prognosticate what is going to happen with that. That right now it's taxed as ordinary income unless you're in exclusionary category. Really, all I can say about that, and, you know, I mean, there are advantages and disadvantages. The advantages of living in Wisconsin is that when you pay your income tax, and that's really all you pay.
Mm-hmm.
We have the lowest driver's license fees in the country. We have lower fees on almost everything else. And our tax money goes to, I would say, a quality of life. And I'm not originally from Wisconsin, a quality of life that's significantly higher than most other states around. So I think you're buying some significant advantages that you may not have in Illinois or other states.
Yeah. So there you have it. Jerry, join us here in Wisconsin.
And like we said earlier, Social Security income is not taxed. And there are other exclusions, capital gains, and other things that may make it to your advantage to live here.
And Sue in McHenry, Illinois, emailed and has two teenagers who have had jobs this past year. We'd like them to learn to file their taxes themselves, since it will be pretty simple at this stage in their lives. What would you suggest to help them learn from this? Maybe go right online to your...
Go right to the website, and they're going to file a Wisconsin Easy form, WIS, most likely.
I'm a little concerned because she called from Illinois. If her children are actually Illinois residents, Wisconsin has reciprocity with Illinois, so you would fill out Illinois returns still.
You know, I didn't catch that myself.
Yeah, I was assuming that maybe they were students and they were residents of Wisconsin, but I don't know
right,
if that's
I don't,
the case.
It depends where they are, but
yeah.
If they are residents of Wisconsin, definitely go on our website and file electronically.
And there you have it. And what qualifies you for first-time homebuyer credits? Greg from Luxembourg says, I own properties for investment, but must you live at the residence to determine the first-time homebuyer? So he bought sounds like he bought a property and he's renting it or something.
Yes, in order to be considered a homeowner, it has to be your home that you're purchasing.
Okay, so you have to reside in the home.
Your primary residence only, yes.
Okay. Kirsten in Eau Claire, on to you now. Hi, Kirsten.
Hi there. I have a complex question. We moved here to the great state of Wisconsin in June. For the first half of the year, we resided in Texas, a state with no state income tax. So basically, half of our yearly income is going to be from Texas and half from here in Wisconsin. We own homes both here in Wisconsin and in Texas. How do I file that state return?
But you're now a resident of Wisconsin, so you live here more than 6 months of the year.
Well, no, we moved here. Like many people, our home in Texas is still our home. It's on the market for sale, but we may not live long enough to see it sell in this economy. all kidding aside, no, we do live here in Wisconsin. My husband is employed at a hospital in Eau Claire. And we're just trying to figure out, since half of the year his income was in a place with no state income tax, and half of the year it was in Wisconsin, where, in fact, you do tax income, how am I going to handle that state return?
Okay.
You're still going to file a 1 NPR form as a non-resident or a part-year resident of Wisconsin. So since you were part-year resident, you fill out that form, and again, it'll break down your Texas income which is included in federal from your Wisconsin income. So you're only paying Wisconsin tax on money that you earned after you became a Wisconsin resident.
So it's one NPR.
Yes.
All right. Terrific. We'll look for that form. One other thing, military retirement income. Does Wisconsin tax that?
It depends.
Okay.
So, and there
but
are,
that information is on our website.
Yeah. So you can go right on the website, which is, again, what's the website again, Roger?
www.revenue.wi.gov.
Will do. Thanks so much for the help.
You bet. Thanks. Thank you very much for calling. And Steve in Toma, your turn. Hi, Steve.
Hi. Listen, the employer is required to give you your W-2 by the end of January. Now, are your investors required to get your 1099 by a certain date?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And what date is that?
Same.
By the same.
They need to be sent out by that date. You might not actually have it on that date.
Okay. Well, I remember last year I didn't get my 1099 from one account until like April.
Oh.
You know, boy.
So
it was probably the accountant received it before then, is my guess. Maybe he just didn't forward it to you. But, yeah, by law, they're supposed to be out in January.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thanks for calling. And Daryl in Cumberland, on to you now. Hi, Daryl.
Hi, how are you guys doing?
Good.
Last year when I filed my taxes, I used the computer program. And when it was all said and done, I thought it was kind of light on my return. And then when that stimulus package went out, it showed two adults, no dependent, but I had a dependent. And when I went back and checked, rechecked my paperwork, it showed that I was filing with my dependent. But I was thinking maybe somehow there was a glitch in there, and even though the computer says what it sent to the IRS, it doesn't show as a dependent. How do I check that?
Hmm.
Well, I think I would suggest calling the IRS and discussing it with them. I mean, there's always mistakes, even if they would have received the data correctly. There may have been an error on the dependent side, but I think you should call them. There is – I'm not sure what you mean by light, but, there are various components to these electronic products that you have to really make sure you look into to ensure that it actually does what you want it to do. And they're all somewhat different, although we require that they have certain components to it so that it works with our systems.
Mm-hmm.
They all have their various ways in which they ask the questions to fill out the various places on the forms, or they just they'll replicate the form directly, but it's hard for me to characterize exactly what you're talking about without knowing the product.
Yeah, well, I thank you very much for calling, and Roger and Carol, I thank you so much. Boy, the time flew by, didn't it?
Wow.
Oh yeah.
The time, it always does. You guys, you did a great job, and I hope we can do this again with you. Appreciate it very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Roger Irvin is Wisconsin's Secretary of Revenue and is responsible for administering the state tax law and policy. Carol Scott, Tax Preparation Specialist in our Wisconsin Department of Revenue. And just to give you the helplines again, you can go to area code 608-266-2772, 266-2772. That's for individual help. If you have a business, 608-266-2776. And once more, you can go online to
revenue.wi.gov.
Wonderful. Thank you both again very much. Appreciate it. And we will be continuing on with more programming here. We'll be taking a look at prescription eyeglasses coming up next year on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.